Lord, I just want to repeat that prayer of Judith. And we want to repeat what we've already declared, what we've already prayed. Let your glory fall in this place. Let your light shine in this place. Lord, would you help us in these next moments to have fresh revelation, fresh understanding, to unpack what we've already prayed, what we've already declared. Would you shine your light into our hearts, open our hearts, that we might hear you afresh, that we might receive you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know whether you can remember back to February. I couldn't. But I did have my notes. So I wondered if you remembered what I spoke on in February, or whether I could just repeat it. It's worth repeating. Any takers? Pardon? What? Sorry? It was in February. And something special was happening at the beginning of March. You got it. And so I talked about us being saints. Remember? Who are the saints? Each one of us. And each one of us have to be reminded to live up to what we are called to be. How are you doing, saints? You're supposed to say, yeah, very well. I'm getting used to being Saint Maria, Saint Victoria, Saint Richard. No? Yes? We've got to address it, because no one else will. We heard a story this last week. We went to a retreat centre in West Wales, and Father Brennan. And the stories that come out of that place are just, oh, you know, it's like, can you believe it? They're absolutely phenomenal. Yes, you can believe it. And this story, which happened last week, of a woman who arrived there. She was in her 50s, but she was, I mean, if I say in a bad way, I mean very, very heavy, very... obviously struggling with life. She had a horrendous story from, you know, when she was a little girl being abused, and that went on. It's all right. Don't shut them out. She was a woman who continually through life was told she was no good. Continually through her life she was told, I mean, you can't imagine people doing it, but this is what she was labelled. They used to say to her, you've got a face like the back of a bus. So to say that she was pretty miserable and downtrodden is putting it mildly. And the question that she knew the Lord, and the question she was asked was, well, what would you like? What would you like, you know, Jesus to do for you? Well, what's, you know, really in your heart? And she said, I would love to be called Happy Face. Do you think Jesus could do that? He did. In a matter of moments, really. And the transformation, because it was visible. I mean, this is it about, you know, the things that God wants to do. He wants to make them visible. And her face was completely transformed. And there she was, happy face. I mean, I'm sure you, I've told you, because what comes to mind that I, you know, keep sort of like repeating is, if you've got the joy of Jesus, if you know the joy of Jesus in your heart, tell your face. Okay? It's no good having the joy of Jesus in your heart if your face doesn't show it, because no one knows it. And the world out there is waiting. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Why do we come into his presence? Because we want to fill ourselves up with him, with joy. If we don't find joy in his presence, then there's something not connecting. Because that's his heart, that we should come into his presence and get filled up with the joy that the world knows nothing about. And that we're able to then take that joy out into the world. So, do you hear things, you know, going back to, you know, what God says about you, and he says that you're a saint. Do you believe it? What's it going to take for you to believe it? I was talking to Angela Blackmore here this morning, and she's, I expect most of you know, she's working in Llanrwmni High School. And she's there as a social worker, and she's working with boys and girls who just don't know how to live, because they've never had any role models. And she was telling me that there's a class in Llanrwmni High, and they label this class the Misfits. What do you think that class is like? Do they live up to their name? What do you think? We all do. We live up to our name, and that's why it's important that we listen to what God is saying to us, often more than what maybe other people are saying to us. God made mankind in his own image, and his purpose is that we reign and rule with him as Jesus does. We heard that this morning, didn't we? I mean, how awesome that God wants to partner with us. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And we say that, it's unbelievable. I have to keep challenging myself, well, do I believe it? We're so used to saying it's unbelievable, because it's awesome that the God of this universe wants to work in partnership with us. But if he says it, he's done it, what's our response going to be? Are you qualified? What makes you qualified? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's our only qualification, isn't it? Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Acts 19, when Paul goes to Ephesus, he says to the Christians there, and I've just read this recently in the Message, which is, you know, it's a different translation, and sometimes things come over in a different translation and just hit you. This was one of them. And Paul is saying to them, talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only? Or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside you? How about that for a phrase? Did he get inside you? That's our challenge. We can have a good facade, we can say all the right words, but who are we inside? Have we allowed God's Holy Spirit to come inside us? That's why Jesus died, so that his Spirit could come in us. So that's the challenge that I want to bring to you. Are we allowing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to work inside us, changing us from the inside out? This is the transforming work of the cross. Jesus did it. It's more important who we are than what we do. We can do all the right things, but who are we? What's going on inside? So often we're still trying to earn our salvation. Do you find that? I've got to do this, I've got to go there, I've got to do this, do. God says, how about being? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because you'll never be good enough. Do you think you will? Do you think from your own efforts? I mean, I can read verses after verses. You've only got to go to the Word, and it's so good that you, and again, you have the Word given to you every week, apart from what, you know, you read on your own. And I can't emphasize strongly enough to, you know, read the Word, take it in. But unless we allow it to do something inside us, it's still just words, isn't it? But there's no condemnation, remember. We don't have to pretend to be what we're not. But again, what we had this morning, it's like, please help me. And the Father is only too delighted. Oh, he thought, I bet he says so often, I thought you'd never ask. Because we try to do it so much on our own. If we can do it by ourselves, we do it. And that's true, isn't it? So it's learning to have that dependency on God. To take off the old and allow God to come in and put on the new. Colossians. There was so much in Colossians. I thought, well, if I start reading Colossians, I'll be reading the whole book. Because it's all about taking off the old and putting on the new. And it's very practical. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, big stuff. It's very, very practical. Let's just have a little look. I'm reading in the Message translation, because so often that just highlights. So the old life is described, this is sort of like bits of chapter 3. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Now, I would suggest, even in that phrase, your real life, which is invisible to spectators, I would suggest that actually it's not that invisible. Have you ever had the experience of going up to someone and just feeling, well, you're not actually meeting that person? There's a sort of facade, a front, and it's like, where are you? You know, I'm not meeting you. The real life, if you've got the real life inside, you show it. Because you haven't got anything to fear. And there's such fear about, putting on something which is often the wrong thing. God says, take it off. He says, don't lie to one another. You've done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. And now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. What's this new wardrobe like? It's chosen by God for this new life of love. Paul says, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. So sometimes a good thing to do is to dress up. When you were children, you dressed up in all sorts of things. As Christians, we can dress up. Put on love. Paul says, put it on. If you don't feel it inside, well, don't worry. Put some on. And the feeling will come. So we are being changed into the image of Christ. What does that look like? Well, one illustration that I just want to highlight tonight is about being stars, shining like lights. We've already sung about it, haven't we? In Philippians 2:15, it says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Daniel, again, we had Daniel this morning, and God revealed a lot of things to Daniel, and he was saying that at the end, he says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. We are being changed into the image of Christ. What do we hear about Jesus? You will all be familiar with John 1. How does John 1 start? In the beginning was the Word was with God, everything was created through Him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. Jesus was the light that came into the world. Can darkness ever put light out? There's no competition, is there? It doesn't matter how faint the light is. The light shines in the darkness. And what happens when the light shines? Well, Jesus told us in chapter 3, he says, this is the crisis we're in. This is just after he has said that so God so loved the world that he sent his son, which was Jesus. And then following that, he says, this is the crisis we're in. He knew we were in a crisis then. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. And everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and delusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work it is. How are we doing? Are you afraid of the light? Are you afraid to let God shine his light into you? There's no need to be. We've already said there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He only shines the light because he wants to expose the darkness in you so that he can flood you with more light. And that's what it means by inviting the Holy Spirit inside, so the Holy Spirit can do that work. But it often is not very nice because, you know, he can shine things. Oh, I don't want to think I'm like that. You don't have to be, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going that way anymore. And this is what, it's an ongoing, it never finishes. It's ongoing. We've, the last few weeks, in many different situations, we've been singing a chorus. I hope you're going to join in with me. This little light of mine.
Yes.
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Yes. This little light of mine.
Yes.
I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine.
Yes.
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Now we can smile at that and we can, you know, think, oh yeah, that's, you know, sort of like just a little chorus. But it's a very powerful chorus. And even that little verse, it took me a while to remember that second verse. I knew it was something like that, but I couldn't quite get it. But yeah, the enemy's after you all the time, and he wants to snuff it out. And he'll do all sorts of things. And if you go out there, out of the door, shining that light, people won't like it. Have you ever noticed that if you go out and you're too full of joy, people don't like that either? It's like, it's all right for you. There's nothing going wrong in your life, you know. If you had my life, you wouldn't be full of joy. It's nothing to do with circumstances. It's nothing to do with what's going on in your life outside. And this is what people are so hungry for. So, my challenge to us tonight is, are we going to agree afresh to let our light shine? What about what we sang? Two of them, I mean, they were marvelous together. Let your glory fall in this room. How's his glory going to fall in this room? What does it mean? What does it look like? There's glory here now. Where's the glory? But if we don't let it shine, it's the same sort of thing, isn't it? If we don't let it out, we keep it hidden. And if we sort of like put our overcoat on when we go out there, because, well, you know, it's different out there. It's easier in here, isn't it? When we're all, you know, like-minded and we're, you know, encouraging one another. It's harder when we get out there, but the good news is that you can always come back in here and encourage each other, right? And then you go out again. Lord, the light of your love is shining. In the midst of the darkness shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. What's the purpose of him shining on you? So that you can reflect his light, the radiance of his glory. It's all about gazing at his face. What do you remember about Moses when he went to see and met with God face to face, didn't he? And what was his face, Moses' face like? He had to hide it. They couldn't bear the brightness of his face. Oh, that we would be like that. This is real. It's tangible. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Are you prepared for that? Our God is a consuming fire. He comes to burn up everything that is not of him, to purify. Again, we sing, purify my heart. He does it with fire. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. How? By the blood, I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. I trust that when we sing these, you know, we allow those words, because they're a prayer, aren't they? We cannot separate worship and prayer. This morning we had prayer. But worship and prayer are synonymous. They go together. Our worship is a prayer. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. What's your story? Do you tell it? You need to tell your story. You've all got a story. What has Jesus done? How has he transformed your life? I was talking to a friend on the phone this week, and she was going to meet her granddaughter, and she was a bit concerned about that she would, you know, be able to say the right things to her granddaughter. Completely in a different context. She was looking for somewhere that they used to visit in North Wales, because they were going up to North Wales. And she found her old diaries. They must have been, trying to think, they must be 50 years old, mustn't they? Because she's getting on. So she found these old diaries and she started reading them, and she was horrified. She said, well, you know, I knew I was a bit of a girl when I was a teenager, but I, you know, sort of, it hit her how bad it was. And her first instinct was, I want to burn up these diaries. Don't want anyone to read them. But then it was, wow, what a transformation that God has done in my life. And it's good sometimes to look back, isn't it? That was then. This is now. Wow, thank you, Lord. And whether it's just, I mean, it should be sort of like yesterday. Sometimes it's a bit, you know, further back. But again, it's an ongoing story, isn't it? Because God's transforming our lives from one degree of glory to another. Don't be afraid to tell your story. Colin loves to watch songs of praise. I'm not so keen. But tonight, it was... songs, did you watch it? Yeah. Yeah, 50 years. Anyone else watch it? Celebrating 50 years of song. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Songs of Praise on BBC One. And it's been going for 50 years, don't you say? Where do you think it started? Yes, in Wales and in Cardiff. Yes! It started in Tabernacle the Hayes in Cardiff 50 years ago. And it was started by, because someone listened to a similar program in Welsh singing. Now, if you know anything about Wales, Wales, again, is a land of song, but particularly among the Welsh speaking. And they used to have Welsh hymn singing. I don't know how many years that goes back to. Gymanfaganis, they used to be called. And they just used to come together and sing hymns. And then someone thought, oh, this sounds really good. So it started on BBC 50 years ago, Tabernacle in Cardiff. What a heritage we've got. And the verse that's... prompted the the producer or whatever it. He said, "What was his name?" They were looking for the name. What to call it? They knew they wanted, you know, it was going to be hymns, but what should we call it? Psalm 147 says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. So, obviously, songs of praise. And, you know, it traced the history. I mean, 50 years is a long time for a particular program to continue. And I would say that it's gone from strength to strength. And the testimonies that come out of it, but also... that the people who listen to it, who watch it, the people out there are hungry for songs of praise. They don't know what they're hungry for, but we've got it to show them. And, you know, I praise God for this place, that you are demonstrating the love of God. You are demonstrating the light shining. You're demonstrating it here last week, this week, with this latest tragedy. And that the family know that this is their family. I mean, how awesome is that? You've got the gathering of the nations here. It's all here. the significant thing is his presence. And yes, there's such a thing as the tangible presence of God. And God comes. He comes, again, a lovely expression that I read recently was, God likes to hang out in small places where love is large. God likes to hang out in small places where love is large. It's not about numbers. He loves to hang out where there's love. And as you show your love one to another, God comes. He loves it. And so as you open those doors and people come in, they can feel the tangible love of God here. And you don't have to do anything. You have to be. And you have to be an expression of that love. And you have to each one of us individually choose to let your light shine. Because each one is important. No dark corners. You are all special. You're all different. Jesus has lit that light in you. So let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I don't know whether we're having a hymn or a song to finish. But I would love to sing that again, what we sang earlier on. And again, that we would sing it as a prayer. And again, invite God to do that in us. Because we are the radiance of his glory. And we're going to share in communion.